Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that you had a beautiful day on today, and I hope and pray this all is well in your family circle. And before we go into our program, we always come across with the intro prayer. And so I'm asking those of you that will, out there in my digital live audience on tonight, to bow your heads as we go down and acknowledge our Heavenly Father. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly planet is not our eternal destination. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continually to mount up before the four corners of this earth as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay. Lord, I want to be able to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. In Jesus' righteous name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to get your seat and get your all your digital items, your iPhone, your laptop, your tablet, and bring them on board tonight, for we are in need of them. I want you to get close to your digital dial. Hallelujah. And just pray for me as I bring unto you the divine word of truth. My sermon on tonight entitled, God Put You in My Way. I want to say that one more time. God put you in my way. And we're going to read our first key scripture, and it reads like this. He's wanting to justify himself, says to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 10 and 29. Our second key scripture says, open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and to your needy in your land. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 15 and 11. And so Jesus tell us to open our hands wide unto our brother and our sister that are in need. And you know, God gave me that theme on tonight. God put you in my way. How many of us that can say right here and right now, in this moment, in this hour, in our 21st century, all the people that God has allowed to evolve into your life. Some came and some went. But some of those individuals God has put in you and mind's way for a reason. Because we know that God never makes a mistake. Whatever God does, he does it for yours and mine's and our good. Hallelujah. And so, you know, you run into people as you go on your itinerary every day, you know, to your workplace, to the supermarket, to the laundromat, to the bank, to pay bills. You run into people that you never would have thought that would evolve into your life. But that is Jesus, my friend, that has placed you in my way, vice versa. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And we know that in the parable of the Good Samaritan, a priest and a religious scholar whose calling was to help the downtrodden ignored the need of a fallen traveler who had been left to die on the Jericho road. We find out that a hated Samaritan, however, gave his time and resources to help the hurting man. Displaying Christ's compassion, he bandaged his wound, brought him to an end, and took care of him. We read in the law of Luke 10 and 34, the ravished man had been put in the way of all three travelers, but only the Samaritan responded. I want to ask you on tonight, those that are listening in the live podcast audience on tonight, how many of you has responded to a person that God has placed in your way? And we find out in this key scripture of Luke, God says that there had been three travelers, but only the Samaritan responded. And as we move through life, you and I are challenged to respond to the needs of God's people. We will either show them Christ's love, or we will be indifferent. So I want to ask you once again, how will you respond on the next time that God places a person or people in your way? Will you open up your arms? Will you open up your hands, your palms, or will you close them tightly shut to shut that person off? Or tell them to get away from me. I don't have anything for you. You're just a beggar. You're just a bum. You know, won't you go get your job? That is not the love of the Father. So we are to open wide our hands and our arms to receive those that are in need. Hallelujah. And so, if you have issues, or if you have a problem exemplifying those instructions and commandments of God, then we need to pray. Hallelujah. You can tell God, say, God, I need your help to see the needs of your people around me. And then you can know how to care for them. Because God can give you and I a heart of compassion. And we are to have a compassion like the Father. Hallelujah. To express his love to others. That is what God has commanded you and I to do. And I'm also reminded that a Harvard Business School professor, he wrote an open letter to the nation graduates, and he told them that in one sense they needed to forget what they had learned in school. He said that school tends to put too much emphasis on the idea that success comes. come as a result of passing a test. Hallelujah. The professor pointed out that in the working place, depend largely on learning to succeed and what he called a well of relationships. And he said that one must have the ability to cooperate with others and function as an effective team. We know that this truth also applies to the living Christian lifestyle. We often think that spiritual maturity and success results come from how much we know about biblical facts and principles. But Jesus showed us, however, that real success comes from something else, from loving one another in the same way he loved you and I. He made it clear that we can do this only if we abide in him. You can read that scripture in the law of John 15:7. And this means that we must stay close to him through prayer and willingness to obey his command. We know that one way of a relationship must extend first to God and then to others. We find out that the secret spiritual success is not just in acquiring individual knowledge. It is combining that knowledge with love in all our relationships. Hallelujah. And we can pray this prayer that, Lord, help us learn from what you did when you lived on this earth. You spread your love to all you met. You gave each one true worth. We know that as Christians draw close to Christ, they draw closer to one another. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. We also know that one of the reasons we tend to tell rather than to show is that it's easier and it's faster. Showing how to do something requires time and effort. But in teaching, it's easier to tell students what's wrong with what they did than to show them how to do it right. We know that, however, it is more effective. For thousands of years, we know that the Jewish people had only the law telling them what to do and what not to do. But then came Jesus Christ, who showed them how to live the life God had been telling them about all along. Jesus did not just say that, but Jesus implemented that. He said to be humble, because Jesus himself was humble. He did not just say forgive others, because he himself forgave us. He did not just say love God and your neighbor, because he demonstrated love by his actions. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 15:12. And we know that Christ's perfect example of love shows how great God's love is for you and I, and how we are to show his love to others. Bless the Lord for love victorious, love that conquers on the tree, for his grace so great and glorious, flowing out from Calvary. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we also know that there are men that sit on the street corners day after day begging for money. Hallelujah. He's poor and desperate for a little cash to spend on food. But he's not alone. We know that more than one half of the world's people live below the international defined poverty line. Less than $2 a day. We're told that poverty and hunger are such a big problem in our today's world. But it's easy for us to feel helpless or to become hard-hearted and do nothing. We know that Jesus doesn't close his eyes to the plight of the poor. When he gave his people guidelines for living, he included instructions on ways to care for the needy. In the law of Deuteronomy 15:11, he told his people, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hands from your poor brother, but open your hand wide to him and willingly lead him sufficiently for his need. God also commanded his people not to glean the corners of the field so that the less fortunate could gather food. And Jesus showed his compassion for the poor by his words and actions. And you and I as Christians, we cannot ignore the plight of the poor today. Individuals and churches can join with Christians' organizations working to combat poverty as they spread the word. God has a heart for the poor. I want to ask you, do you? Do we have a heart for the poor? Hallelujah! We know that the poor and the needy everywhere are objects of God's love and care. But they will better know his care as we seek ways that love to share. God give us all we need so we can give to those in need. Hallelujah. And our final scripture reading for tonight is when asked what was the greatest commandment, Jesus replied, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That scripture reading is coming out of Matthew 22:37-40. But we know that Christian believers live in a world that suffers under the influence of Satan. The conflict that arises allows us to slip into an us and them distinction. We falsely assume that we can be selected in whom we love. But John denounced this view as false and instructs his contemporaries, as well as you and me today, that the essence of God is love. The scripture instructs you and I that we must love each other as well as God. Armed with this knowledge, we know that there are difficult situations in which we must love, especially if we want others to recognize us as being of God. This is demonstrated in four basic ways: love for our neighbors, love for our fellow believers, love for our families, and love for our enemies. Often we want to live and we want to love God, but still want to reserve the right to reject and select certain brothers and sisters. But love doesn't work that way. So we know that God is love. And to be of God, you and I must also love our brothers and our sisters. To the extent of God's love can be seen in the sacrifice of his own son, Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, though it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That scripture reading is coming out of Philippians 2:6-7. On the basis of such love, you and I as believers are encouraged to love each other. God, who is in infinite deserving, and even our enemies, who may be undeserving, we must also love as well. So, the bottom line is God has put you in my way. God has put somebody in your way. And it's just like a change link. And it go on and on. It continue to that great day of rapture. We are to love our neighbors as God has loved you and I. So give. Because you cannot be God-given. God said, "Such as I have, I give unto you." So allow God to put someone has already put someone in your way, and you shooed them on away, you have another opportunity for God to put someone in your way once again. And you are to open your eyes, open your arms, open your hands and your heart to your sister, to your brother. In doing so, you are showing the love of the Father. And in closing, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pound your behalf. You are certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. So your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1500, Gilroy, California, 95020. And web address is www.JaniceWardMinistry.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now bring you Hymns of Zion to lift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Listen up for Hymns of Zion. Be blessed. Bye for now. Thank you.
Crying out to your love. of perfection. Take your eyes off me. I'm just like you. I'm flawed perfectly. No fingers can be pointed. We're all the same. We all have issues that we need to change. In a world that is turning upside down, it's hard to stay level and keep your feet on the ground. But I know what we need. Lethal lessons life.